Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be all for us. That would be that you are the only thing that is the center of our focus, the center of our lives. And Holy Spirit, would you continue to work faith in our hearts and minds as we have the opportunity to open your word up today and see how merciful and loving that you are to us. Thank you, Father, for all the ways you work in and through us each and every day of our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we are in Luke 16, 1 through 15, and we're going to stop at verse 9 because really these 1 through 15 are really two, they kind of go together, but they, if we talk about both of them, we're going to have two sermons today. So I'm focusing on the first part, this parable of the dishonest manager. And the audience that Jesus is speaking to is the disciples. It's good to know when you're reading scripture, like, what is going on? And so we're going to talk about that right now. So Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's telling this parable where he's saying there's this rich man. He had a manager, and the rich man was informed that the manager of his wealth had not been handling his wealth appropriately. He was wasting his possessions, the text says. And so what happens? Well, the manager is fired by the rich man. He's terminated. And all of a sudden, the manager says to himself, "Self, what shall I do? My master is taking the management away from me. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm much too proud to beg." You know, I don't know if you ever talk to yourself. I do, as an only child. It just, you know, it's who I had in the room at the time. You know, I mean, a lot of times, like, what do you want to do today? And sometimes I will still talk to myself, and my wife would be like, "Who are you talking to?" Myself. It's a little awkward at times. So if you ever see me talking to myself, I'm okay. It's just normal. It's normal. So this guy is trying to come up with a plan. Like, hey, I've been fired. What am I going to do? And maybe he was fired because he was wasting the possessions of the rich man, or he was not making sound investments. He was perhaps taking too many risks. Maybe he was keeping some of the money for himself, and it was found out. Perhaps he was just being flat-out lazy and not doing the job he was supposed to. He was playing too many games on his computer or his phone. Right? He was on social media too much, on TikTok or Instagram, and he should have been at work. Maybe he was quiet quitting, just packing it in. It appears the manager had been terminated immediately, but it doesn't appear that the rich man made the manager turn the books in immediately, because it says that he is able to go to each person that owes the rich man debt, and he can make kind of this plan with them, this deal. He knows, though, he doesn't have a lot of time, that he's got to hurry up on this plan that he has. So he has this plan that makes both he and the rich man look really good. The manager wants to be in good standing with the people that he is going to try to work this plan with, because when he has no income or job, his thought is, well, perhaps if I look like a good guy, maybe they'll help me out a little bit. Maybe if I scratch their back, they'll scratch mine. And so he wants to come up with this plan. And so he goes to them, and he knows he also doesn't have a lot of time, because if they find out, if the people who owe the rich man debt find out that this guy is no longer employed by the rich man, they're not going to cooperate with this plan. You see, they didn't have LinkedIn that said, former manager of rich man's wealth. They didn't have that. As far as they knew, the guy was still employed by the rich man. And the language he used also indicated he was still employed by the rich man. So it says in verse 5, he went to his master's debtors one by one. He said to the first, how much do you owe my master? That would indicate he's still employed by the guy. They had no reason to think he wasn't. So here's what's so shrewd about this plan. As he's going to each person, he's cutting them a deal. He says to the first one, how much do you owe? 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Sit down quickly. He knew his time was short. He had to do this in a hurry before he was found out. Sit down quickly. Just scratch it out. Write 50 instead of 100. And then he goes to the other guy. How much do you owe? 100 measures of wheat. Take your bill and write 80. So here's what's so shrewd. No word has gotten out. The man's been fired. Yet he gives these people who owe debts to the rich man some grace. And he tells them, hey, rich man has had pity on you. And in some cases, he forgives up to 50% of their debts. And this manager finishes up all the accounts, takes them to his master. And now the rich man is in quite a pickle. The local village people who owe money to the man have received what feels like a huge weight off their shoulders. The manager went to them and said, hey, he's got grace for you, and I'm going to be nice too. Let's change this bill. I mean, now they're dancing in the streets. They're so excited. Have you ever had that weight lifted when you no longer owe debt? Isn't it a great feeling? You're like, oh, I'm writing that last check, and then you're done. You're like, woo. It's an awesome gift. The people have made posters of this man, the rich man. They notified all their friends and family about how awesome the rich man is. They're excited. The worst thing this rich man could do is go to the people and go, hey, there's been a little bit of misunderstanding here. So the manager was not authorized to make those changes to your debt. I'm really sorry about that. There's just been a big, big misunderstanding. You still owe all that you owed me before this morning, and you heard about that. Oh, and I hope you have a really blessed day. We'll see you later. The check is due on the 15th. Ta-ta now. Like, that would be really, I mean, it would be a move that the rich man could make. But what's his other choice? Well, sit back and let the people heap praise on both him and the manager for how awesome they are. The master, this rich man, he's generous. He's merciful. Think about it. The manager should have been fired immediately and like either locked up or all the books taken from him right away. Their security should have come and like escorted him out after he packed up his belongings. That happens, right? I mean, whenever somebody's terminated, you leave immediately. You don't get to keep anything. But the manager knew that this rich man he worked for was gracious and merciful. He risked everything on the face that this would continue to be the master's character, and it was. Since the master was so generous and merciful, he chose to pay for the master's choices, for his scheme. See, this is what this parable is about. It's not just about money. It's about how the manager relied on the mercy of the master. And if he relied on the mercy of the master, how much more can we rely on the mercy of our Master Jesus? That's really what it's talking about. Knowing that your master, your Lord, your Savior, Jesus, is merciful. Way more merciful than a rich man who just had a guy who was scheming and then he didn't have a choice. He was like, well, I'll just let him do it. I'm merciful, so I'll just let it go this time. No, Jesus wants to be merciful to you. He loves you. Your only option in life as a follower of Christ is to trust everything to the unfailing mercy of Jesus, who's paid the price for our salvation. And later in this text, it talks about where, you know, one who's faithful in little is also faithful in much. You know, no servant can serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. And that's true. You can't serve both God and money, or God and power, or God and pleasure, or God and your family. You got to choose one. You got to put your trust in one person or thing. And as followers of Jesus, there are times, because we're human beings, we put our trust in everything but Jesus. But we have one option: to trust the unfailing mercy of Christ. And look, I know that you as human beings deal with some stuff in life. I'm one too, remember. So I see that you deal with financial struggles or health issues, broken hearts because of broken relationships. Maybe you deal with measuring up or not being seen. Feel like you're not heard. And those are real things that we all deal with. And the great beauty about God, who is merciful, about Jesus, who's full of mercy, is on a day like today, when you got communion, you can come up to the altar and you can just say, Lord, hey, I've got all these things in my heart, and I'm giving them to you. You got to take them. You're merciful. You understand. You know what I'm dealing with. Would you just give me forgiveness and mercy and renew me? Change my heart. Give me your grace. And he does. You see, if Jesus is who he said he is, if he, after 3 days, walked up out of that tomb, which he did, there's witnesses, if he did that, if he lived, died, and rose for you and me, as a God who is full of love and mercy, then no matter what you and I deal with, it's all going to be okay. Even though the world is jacked up and messed up and it doesn't look like things are getting better, one thing you and I can unify together on is that Jesus is merciful, and that he gives you and I, as his sons and daughters, his love and his grace. And he gives us one another to live this life together, to encourage one another, to spur one another on, because he's full of mercy and grace and love for you. So know today that Jesus, this God of mercy, has given you more mercy than you will ever need. And because of that, you're going to be okay.